Genesis Coloring Bible, every verse, chapters 12 to 17. Let's get started. Leave your country. Genesis 12, verses 1 to 20. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Leave your country and your relatives and your father's house, and go to the land that I will show you."
Where is he going?
"I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who treats you with contempt. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him. Lot went with him.
Oh, I know Lot. That's a lot of responsibility.
Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran.
He looks good for 75.
Yeah, they were still living longer back then. Abram took Sarai, his wife, Lot, his brother's son, all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they went to go into the land of Canaan.
Oh, there's Canaan again.
That's right, the sons of Ham. They entered into the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, to the Oak of Moreh. At that time, Canaanites were in the land.
We gotta watch those Canaanites.
The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "I will give this land to your offspring."
Well, that's a lot of land, isn't it?
It's huge. He built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. He left from there to go to the mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Ai on the east.
I've heard of Ai somewhere.
It comes up later in the Bible in the book of Joshua.
Oh, after the Battle of Jericho.
That's right. Good memory.
Thank you.
There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the Lord's name. Abraham traveled, still going on, toward the south. There was a famine in the land.
They were out of food.
Abraham went down into Egypt to live as a foreigner there, for the famine was severe in the land.
So first Abraham leaves his home, and when he gets there, there's no food.
So he goes to Egypt.
Wow.
When he had come near to enter Egypt, he said to Sarai, his wife, "See now, I know that you are a beautiful woman to look at. It will happen when the Egyptians see you, they will say, 'This is his wife.' They will kill me, but they will save you alive."
He thinks they will kill him.
Yeah, to steal his beautiful wife.
Wow.
But he has a plan. "Please say that you are my sister."
His sister?
"That it may be well with me for your sake, and that my soul may live because of you."
Oh, good luck with that plan.
When Abram had come into Egypt, Egyptians saw that the woman was very beautiful. The princes of Pharaoh saw her and praised her to Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house.
They're taking Sarai.
He's the Pharaoh. I guess he can do that. But he dealt well with Abram for her sake. So he had sheep, cattle, male donkeys, male servants, female servants, female donkeys and camels.
So the Pharaoh kind of bought Sarai.
At this point, Pharaoh thinks she is Abram's sister. But the Lord afflicted Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife.
Way to go, God.
So Pharaoh calls Abram and says, "What is this you have done to me? Why didn't you tell me she was your wife?"
Good question.
"Why did you say she is my sister, so that I took her to be my wife?"
Yeah, Abram, are you out of your mind?
"Now therefore, see your wife, take her, and go your way."
Ooh, Pharaoh's kind of mad.
You think? Pharaoh commanded men concerning him, and they escorted him away with his wife and all that he had.
They're lucky to get out of there at all.
That's true.
It's time to get out of Egypt.
Genesis 13, verses 1 to 12. Abram went out of Egypt, he, his wife, all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south.
Time to get out of town, quick.
Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold.
That's a lot of sheep.
He went on his journeys from the south as far as Bethel, back to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar, which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the Lord's name. Lot also, who went with Abram, had flocks, herds, and tents.
Uh-oh.
The land was not able to bear them, that they might live together, for their possessions were so great that they couldn't live together.
Oh, they're fighting over the pasture land?
Yeah. There was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock.
Ooh, it's a fight!
The Canaanites and the Perizzites lived in the land at that time.
Perizzites? Sounds like parasites.
Abram said to Lot, "Please, let there be no strife between you and me, and between your herdsmen and my herdsmen, for we are relatives."
Yeah, he's Uncle Abram.
That's right. "Isn't the whole land before you? Please separate yourself from me."
Ooh, he's kicking him out.
"If you go to the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if you go to the right hand, then I'll go to the left."
Oh, he's such a nice uncle.
Lot lifted up his eyes and saw all of the plain of the Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah.
Ooh, Sodom and Gomorrah.
It was like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go to Zoar.
So Sodom and Gomorrah was a really nice place.
Starts out that way. So Lot chose the plain of the Jordan for himself. And Lot traveled east, and they separated themselves from one another.
Oh, goodbye, Lot.
Abraham lived in the land of Canaan, and Lot lived in the cities of the plain, and moved his tent as far as Sodom.
Ooh, Sodom. Dum, da, dum, dum. Lot goes to Sodom. Oh, that spells trouble.
Genesis 13, verses 13 to 18. Now the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinners against the Lord.
Uh-oh. And now Lot lives there.
Yeah, more on that later. The Lord said to Abram, after Lot was separated from him, "Now lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for I will give all the land which you see to you and your offspring forever."
Forever? Well, that's a long time.
"I will make your offspring as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can count the dust of the earth, then your offspring may also be counted."
Like counting dust.
"Arise, walk through the land in its length and in its width, for I will give it to you." Abram moved his tent and lived by the oaks of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and built an altar there to the Lord.
Those altars were pretty important to Abram. Sodom goes to war.
Genesis 14, verses 1 to 13. In the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elasar, Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of Goyim.
Goyim.
They made war with Bera, king of Sodom. While Birsha, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Admah, Shineber, king of Zeboiim, and the king of Bela, also called Zoar, all these joined together in the valley of Siddim, also called the Salt Sea. They served Chedorlaomer for 12 years, and in the 13th year, they rebelled. In the 14th year, Chedorlaomer came, and the kings who were with him, and struck the Rephim in Ashtaroth Karnaim, the Zuzim in Ham, the Emim in Shevev Kirathaim, and the Horites in their Mount Seir, to El Paran, which is by the wilderness.
Oh, you did a good job with that.
Thanks, I'm trying. They returned and came to En-Misphat, also called Kadesh, and struck all the country of the Amalekites and also the Amorites that lived in Hazazon Tamar. The king of Sodom and the king of Gomorrah the king of Adma, the king of Zeboyim, the king of Bela, also called Zor, went out. And they set the battle in array against them in the valley of Sittim, against Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, Tidal, king of Goyim, Amraphel, king of Shinar, and Arioch, king of Elasar, four kings against five. Now the valley of Sittim was full of tar pits, and the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled, and some fell there.
Oh, they got stuck.
Those who remained fled to the hills. They took all of the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their food, and they went their way.
Sodom and Gomorrah were beaten.
Yeah. And they took Lot.
Oh, no.
Abram's brother's son, who lived in Sodom, and his goods, and departed.
Oh, no.
One who had escaped came and told Abram, the Hebrew.
Is Abram going to save his nephew?
See if you can guess.
Oh, Abram rescues Lot.
Genesis 14, verses 13 to 16. At that time, he lived by the oaks of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol, and brother of Aner. They were allies of Abram.
Oh, he's got a small army.
When Abram heard that his relative was taken captive, he let out his 318 trained men, born in his house, and pursued as far as Dan. He divided himself against them by night, he and his servants, and struck them, and pursued them to Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. He brought back all of the goods, and also brought back his relative Lot, and all his goods, and the women also, and the other people.
Way to go, Abram. Meet King Melchizedek. Melchizedek.
Genesis 14, verses 17 through 24. The king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him at the valley of Sheveh, that is, the king's valley. Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High.
A king who's also a priest.
Yeah. He blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. Blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." Abram gave him a tenth of all.
He gave it to Melchizedek?
Melchizedek. The king of Sodom said to Abraham, "Give me the people and take the goods for yourself." Abram said to the king of Sodom, "I have lifted up my hand to the Lord, God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take a thread, nor a sandal strap, nor anything that is yours, lest you should say, 'I made Abram rich.' I will accept nothing from you except that which the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men who went with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre. Let them take their portion."
So Abraham doesn't want any of the stuff.
No.
Don't be afraid.
Genesis 15, verses 1 to 21. After these things, the Lord's word came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Don't be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." Abram said, "Lord God, what will you give me, since I go childless? And he who will inherit my estate is Eleazar of Damascus."
Oh, Abram has no kid.
That's right. Abram said, "Behold, you have given no children to me. And behold, one born in my house is my heir." Behold, the Lord's word came to him, saying, "This man will not be your heir, but he who will come out of your own body will be your heir." The Lord brought him outside and said, "Look now towards the sky and count the stars, if you are able to count them." He said to Abram, "So shall your offspring be."
By counting the stars?
Yeah. He believed in the Lord, who credited it to him for righteousness.
Wow, that is so great.
He said to Abram, "I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldees to give you this land to inherit it." He said, "Lord God, how will I know that I will inherit it?" He said to him, "Bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon."
"Well, that's a strange dinner menu."
"You'll see why." He brought him all these and divided them in the middle and laid each half opposite the other, but he didn't divide the birds. The birds of prey came down on the carcasses, and Abram drove them away. When the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abram. Now terror and great darkness fell on him.
"Ooh, it's getting scary."
He said to Abram, "Know for sure that your offspring will live as foreigners in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them. They will afflict them 400 years.
"Oh, the slaves of Egypt."
"That's right. I will also judge that nation whom they will serve. Afterward, they will come out with great wealth."
"Oh, that's Moses."
"Yeah, parting the Red Sea."
"Very cool."
"But you will go to your fathers in peace. You will be buried at a good old age."
"Good old Abram."
"In the fourth generation, they will come here again, for the iniquity of the Amorite is not yet full."
"The Amorites? I've heard of them."
It came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a flaming torch passed between these pieces.
"That is so weird."
It was God's way of making a special promise called a covenant. In that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, "I have given this land to your offspring from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, the land of the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites."
"Well, that's a lot of ites." "Sarai wants a baby. Oh, she's sad."
Genesis 16, verses 1 to 16. "Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bore him no children."
"Poor Sarai."
"She had a servant, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. Sarai said to Abram, 'See now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing. Please go into my servant. It may be that I will obtain children by her.'"
"She wants her husband to marry another woman?"
"Yeah, seemed like a good idea to her at the time."
"That's crazy."
And Abram listened to the voice of Sarai.
"Oh, this is not going to work out good."
Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, the Egyptian, her servant, after Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to Abram, her husband, to be his wife. He went into Hagar, and she conceived.
So now Hagar is going to have a baby for Abram.
Yes. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes.
Uh-oh, here comes the drama.
Sarai said to Abram, "This wrong is your fault."
"What?
I gave my servant into your bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, she despised me. May the Lord judge between me and you." But Abram said to Sarai, "Behold, your maid is in your hand. Do to her whatever is good in your eyes."
Uh-oh.
Sarai dealt harshly with her, and she fled from her face.
"Run, Hagar."
The Lord's angel found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain on the way to Shur. He said, "Hagar, Sarai's servant, where did you come from? Where are you going?" She said, "I'm fleeing from the face of my mistress, Sarai." The Lord's angel said to her, "Return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hands." The Lord's angel said to her, "I will greatly multiply your offspring, that they will not be counted for multitude."
He's going to bless Hagar too.
The Lord's angel said to her, "Behold, you are with child and will bear a son. You shall call him Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction. He will be like a wild donkey amongst men. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. He will live opposed to all of his brothers. She called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, "You are a God who sees me." For she said, "I have even stayed alive after seeing him." Therefore the well was called Be'er Lahai Roi. Behold, it is between Kedesh and Bered.
Oh, little baby Ishmael.
Hagar bore a son for Abram. Abram called the name of his son, whom Hagar bore, Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abram.
Father Abraham.
Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 to 16. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless."
Blameless.
"I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly." Abram fell on his face. God talked with him, saying, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with you. You will be the father of a multitude of nations. Your name will no more be called Abram, but your name will be Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations."
Abraham.
"I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you. Kings will come out of you."
Kings.
"I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God to you and to your offspring after you."
To be their God. Wow. So this is not just about the land.
"I will give to you and to your offspring after you the land where you are traveling, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. I will be their God."
That's so great.
God said to Abraham, "As for you, you will keep my covenant, you and your offspring after you, throughout their generations."
Is that baby Jesus?
Yes, the future king and son of Abraham.
Oh, I get it.
"This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and your offspring after you. Every male amongst you shall be circumcised."
Circumcised? That doesn't sound too pleasant.
"You shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin. It will be a token of the covenant between me and you."
A token? Like a symbol?
Yeah. "He who is 8 days old will be circumcised amongst you, every male throughout your generations. He who is born in the house or bought with money from any foreigner who is not your offspring. He who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money must be circumcised. My covenant will be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant."
Wow.
"The uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that soul shall be cut off from his people.
Could you please?
He has broken my covenant."
Ooh, so kick him out.
God said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but her name will be Sarah."
Sarah. I like that name.
"I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. Yes, I will bless her, and she will be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her."
Go, Sarah. He makes me laugh.
Genesis 17, verses 17 through 27. "Then Abram fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, 'Will a child be born to him who is 100 years old?'"
Yeah, that's so crazy.
"Will Sarah, who is 90 years old, give birth?" Abraham said to God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before you." God said, "No, but Sarah, your wife, will bear you a son. You shall call his name Isaac."
Oh, Isaac means laughter.
Yeah. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. He will become the father of 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation.
Go, Ishmael.
But I will establish my covenant with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you at this set time next year.
Oh, that's soon.
When he finished talking with him, God went up from Abraham.
He went up.
Abraham took Ishmael, his son, all who were born in his house, and all who were bought with his money, every male amongst the men of Abram's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the same day as God had said to him.
Ouch!
Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. In the same day, both Abraham and Ishmael, his son, were circumcised.
Well, that would have been a fun day.
All the men of his house, those born in the house and those bought with money from a foreigner, were circumcised with him.
Wait, who's that?
We find out in book 4. Run, and don't look back.
Oh no, that's Sodom and Gomorrah.
Book 4 begins, chapters 18 through 21. Or read all of our books on MrMacBible.com.
I will.